World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm up here in the attic. I'm up in the attic here at Pastor Dale's house. And this ain't an attic. What a place. Dale's put Michelle and I up here for this weekend. My goodness. I'm doing this thing where I got my computer here and I got the iPhone and I'm working off both. Just pray that you bear with me here today. We had a wonderful, wonderful time yesterday. Dale's crew, I'm telling you, Dale, Socia, his family, his church, the hospitality has been unbelievable. And somebody who kind of host these things regularly, I know what all goes into it. I know what it does. And we had a big crawfish bake yesterday. And yes, I have to confess, I did relent. Hey, Silver, I ate about a fingernail hunk of crawfish. I gave in. It was the most unbelievable peer pressure you have ever seen, folks. So they tell us in They tell us when we're in high school, remember the DARE program, just say no. They would not let me do it, Silver. They badgered me, peer pressure, and I just say no, and I gave in. I ate a little bit of that. And Dale, what did you say those guys ate last night? Was it, Dale, 70 pounds of crawfish?
Okay. Let's go back and tell the story. You know, when you read the Gospels, there's an overlaying of everybody's interpretation of what they saw. I brought a crawfish, snuck it in the church, and I walked up behind him. What were you doing with a knife flipped open in the church?
Well, thank God Doc Jen was right there. She saw you coming with that crawfish, and she whipped out her knife for me.
She handed you the knife?
Yeah, she's the one.
I was wondering, so he's got a knife, and I didn't think he knew I was coming, but she knew.
I didn't know, yeah.
And so he's got this knife open now in his hand, and when he turned to look, I had the crawfish right over the shoulder. Look, he about dropped the knife. He was so scared, right? And so anyway, the pressure was on. I peeled it, and the pressure was on the whole nine yards. He just did not want to go with this. And this is what he said. This was the icebreaker. He goes, I will not. That you're not going to make me eat it. I'm not going to eat it. There's nobody in this room that can make me eat it except my wife. And Michelle looked over at him and said, eat it. And let me tell you what, when that was done, Michelle went outside and we're going to give her a plaque or a certificate tonight. She ate a whole plate full of them. She is a converted Cajun Christian. And we downed, I don't know, 70 to 100 hamburgers, 70 pounds of crawfish with corn, sausage, mushrooms, the whole nine yards. It was good.
It was quite a feast. And I've got to tell you something. I'm going to get off this subject here real quick. But if you guys have ever seen somebody take a crawfish and pop that thing open and then eat it, you have to ask yourself, who ate the first one ever? Who would have ever picked up one of those things and said, man, this looks good. Honey, what do you think? Should we cook this and eat? Oh, yeah, that looks really. Folks, I'm just telling you. Whoever ate that first crawfish, that would be one of the. He must have been really, really hungry. But I guess they're good because they had a big feast last night. Everybody enjoyed it. We had a great night again last night. Pastor Bill Dunphy spoke to us last night. Dr. John Diamond spoke to us last night. Dan Fisher. He ran for governor. Dan Fisher. We had some overload again last night. We did a lot. We had a lot of preaching and teaching and fellowshipping and I wasn't going to say this, but I am. I feel led to say this. I said it yesterday. I think when folks, this is one of the biggest hearings, I think, maybe in the history of the United States. I'd say, oh, that's, Coach, that's hyperbole. Is it really? Is it really hyperbole? Because I wonder if they would have said that about Roe versus Wade. Would that have been hyperbole in Roe versus Wade if we'd have said, you know, boy, this is one of the biggest decisions to ever come down the... They wouldn't have said that in 1973, would they? But we were right out there yesterday, and a three-judge panel is getting ready to determine whether or not the government has the power to close a church. Now, wait a minute, on an executive order. Not just out of the law or anything like that. Does the government have the power to be able to do that? And if they rule that the government does have the power to do that, I say, Katie, bar the door on religious liberty in America. I think it's that critical. I think it is that big of a deal. Let me back up real quick. I'll get to it. Some of you probably wondered, did they win? How did it come out? Well, Judge Roy Moore, when he came out, we got a lot of great video. I know Bobby Lee will be working on all that video. Judge Roy Moore, his attorney, said, listen, no matter what happens, this case is going to the U.S. Supreme Court. So I believe that yesterday was probably just kind of a formality, whether they win or whether they lose. And we can throw around in our own minds how the judges are going to rule. We know this. If the judges rule according to the law, there's no doubt. Tony wins. Pastor Spell wins. Can we trust him to do that? Are the politicized courts today, are they going to rule that way? Or are they going to say, listen, hey, the three-judge panel, let's just kick it up to the Supreme Court. Let's wash our hands. Let's, hey, Pontius Pilate, wash our hands, and we don't want anything to do with it. Let's just rule this way and kick it up to the Supreme Court and let them decide. Is that what they're going to do? Because it's precedent-setting, see? So if what happens, folks, what do we do if the three-judge panel rules that the government does, in fact, have power over the church? Let's say that. And Pastor Tony's attorneys, Judge Roy Moore, appeal it to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court refuses to hear it because they don't want to deal with it either. Or what if the lower court, Pastor Tony Spell was not permitted in the courtroom for his own hearing. They wouldn't let him in. Only the attorneys were in the room. But what if the courts decide that, you know, they understand. Folks, these people are political, right? These are political animals. They don't want to make the decision. If they rule that Pastor Tony, his rights were violated, it opens up all kinds of litigation all across America. Do they want to do that? Does the Supreme Court want to do it? So if the lower court says the government can't do that, the government cannot do that, and the Supreme Court says, oh, we're going to let that stand. We're not going to hear the case. We agree we're not going to hear it. Either way, folks, yesterday was unbelievably huge. Unbelievably huge. We don't understand it. We don't understand what happened there yesterday. And I was blown away by a lot of different things. I'm going to let some, I don't know how some of the folks have left. Maybe some of them are, we got some stuff going on today too. It's going to be great. Right. But as I was sitting there and I was so proud of you guys. I said, what do you mean, Coach? I was so proud. As Rochelle says, our team. I'm so proud. Because, you know, when we started about 3 weeks ago talking about this thing and people travel and say, you know, come on down to New Orleans. Yeah, I'll be right down there, right? And we had people come. I would say the average driving distance was 10 hours. 10. There wasn't anybody close down here. Dale was. Dale was a fabulous host. But I'm so proud that they all came. We have pictures of Bobby. I don't know if Bobby took some pictures. I don't know, Bobby, if you can get a picture to Jared of our crowd afterwards when we all got in our huddle. And but I want to say this. If we hadn't come, I don't know who'd have been there with Pastor Tony. I really don't know. Now, some of his people showed up. They had a busload of their people maybe that showed up. I don't know. We had probably 100, maybe 100 people from his congregation came. They're 90 minutes away. I'll give them some slack. They're 90 minutes away. Somebody help me out here. Somebody a lot smarter than me. Isn't Pastor Tony Spell, isn't he part of a denomination? I'm just wondering, isn't he part of some Pentecostal denomination?
Amen. A worldwide one.
And none of them came. None of them came. And Pastor Bill Dunphy said something last night that I'm not talking out of school here. Pastor Bill Dunphy said, I'm paraphrasing. It had to be heartbreaking to Pastor Tony. It had to be heartbreaking to know that he's part of this huge denomination. Thank you, Jared. Worldwide Pentecostal Fellowship. Worldwide Pentecostal. Worldwide. Worldwide. That means a lot. Pentecostal Fellowship.
You sure it doesn't mean worldly?
Yeah. And they didn't come. They didn't come. And I didn't even think about it until Pastor Bill said that last night. They didn't come. And so I want to say to all of you, and again, in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, however quickly we pulled this whole thing together, we were it. As Rochelle will say, good morning, team. We were it, folks. We were God's A team. You guys were God's A team. I know Silver, I'm assuming, kept the chat open and all that going on and prayers going on all day long. So even those of you who couldn't make it participated. And so I have been able to check our donations, but I know people out there who, I know you guys sent money. I know you guys did. I haven't checked it. I don't know who it was. And yeah, there were some people who couldn't afford it. And yeah. Of course we need money. It wasn't about money. But you know what we did? We played as a team. Those who could pray, prayed. Those who could give, gave. Those who could come, come. I'm telling you something. I told my wife when we were coming back from that big crawfish thing last night, and Pastor Bill and those guys had all spoken. I came back and just said, I was overwhelmed. Folks, do you understand this? The overwhelm of the impact that we have. That we are it. We are it. Hey, Brett, we are it. Professor Toto, do you guys know who he is? The internet sensation, Professor Toto. I don't know his website. He was there. He came from Mississippi with his 250,000 followers or whatever. I don't know if he was filming it last. Let me back up. We have to do this more. Hey, folks, pull up your big boy pants because we're going to have to do this more. We're going to have to. We are the A-team. What do you mean? Because I believe this. You can. Dan Fisher yesterday started to ask some of the most profound questions. Alan, I can't see on my screen. Alan Zeifer's out there, I'm sure. I'm doing this from memory. Now I'll try to get my screen up here working. Dan Fisher. Folks, listen. In my opinion, the second largest Supreme Court decision in my lifetime. I put Roe versus Wade first. Lawrence versus Texas, sodomy, that was a pretty big one. And Obergefell was a big one with the marriage thing. But this was a direct assault by the government on the church. In my opinion, the largest, most impactful Supreme Court hearing in my lifetime happened yesterday. I believe that, the impact. And Dan Fisher said, where's Family Research Council? Where's Focus on the Family? Where's, he went down through the American Family Association. Here we are out in this park having this rally. Where are the big boys, Silver? Where are the big boys? Where are the guys who can really swing some weight? They don't even understand how important this is. They don't get it. Where in the hell are they? We're it.
Coach.
Yeah.
They don't want to go out of business.
Boy, Joe. No, they came against them, Coach. Let's just put it on the record. Tony Perkins and all of them came and even went to his church and told him he should kowtow and bend his knee unto John Bel Edwards, basically.
That's it. Folks, you know what it is? It's God is so good. They're being exposed. God's exposing them.
Thank you, Dale, for making that clear, because it needed to be made clear.
Yeah. That's, folks, they're being exposed. Are you looking at me? I hope you are. I will never, as long as I live, ever give one more penny. No, I'm never going to give a dime to Focus on the Family, Family Research Council, American Family Association. I could go on and on and on and on. Because listen, friends, all of you out there who are about sharing the gospel and getting the gospel to the world, the hammer was about to come down yesterday in New Orleans, Louisiana. And I don't know, maybe you guys can search right now. Go to their websites and see if they even mention it. They even mention it. I don't think they are. That's all right, man. Sheeps, wolves and sheep, whatever they are. I'm going to talk about that here in a minute. Lord gives me time. I'm having a hard time seeing my screen. I don't know if somebody's trying to get in here. I sound like you're breaking in. That's not what I meant. I can't.
Hey, Coach.
Yes. Go ahead, Alan.
They don't believe what they preach, Coach. Every one of these King James Version jackasses, they don't believe what they preach. And they've been exposed. Just like I said, God has exposed them. It's sickening. I can't. You know what, Coach? They don't even have to show up. They could have just got online. Jesse Duplantis has like a million followers.
They could have just sent them. They could have just told their people to go, Alan.
That's it. That's all he had to do. He could have said, hey, let's go down. If you got time, if you ain't working today, you're in New Orleans, let's go down there and pray for Pastor Spence. That's all he would have had to do, Coach. That's it. And you'd have had 1,000 people or more down there.
And, Alan, you should have seen our crew. I'm so proud of our crew. I don't know who – I don't want to give credit to the wrong person, but one of our crew, maybe it was O.J. I don't know who it was. O.J. had his big cross, and Clay Parker showed up with 33 appeal to heaven flags. And the next thing I knew, I look across. We're in Lafayette Park. I look across the street, and what do I see? I see about 30 of those guys doing a Jericho walk with those flags flying, walking around that thing as the court hearing was going on. It was a powerful, powerful thing to see, man. A powerful one. Hey, could Tony Perkins and those boys, could they have done that? Could they have come and done a Jericho walk?
Hi, you know, good morning.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, this is Nurse Mary from New York.
Hey, Mary.
Hi. So what you're reminding me of, it's the not the number of the people, not the quantity, but the quality
of
the people.
Yes, ma'am. That's
and
right.
So yesterday I looked up an article about what was happening, and some reporter down there wrote like a 50-50 story on Pastor Tony Spell.
Yes.
I didn't really know what to make of him. And then, but I went on his website, and they had the whole hearing there where you could listen in. It was only audio.
Uh-huh.
And so if anybody's interested in that, it was excellent to hear, you know, the judges and the lawyers.
Hey, if you have that link, Mary, drop that in the chat here if you can for us. And then somebody copy that and send that to me. I'd love to hear. Because
Hang on a second.
Just a second. Because it was bizarre. Because there I was standing beside Pastor Tony Spell, and folks, he had his cell phone up to his ear, listening to the feed of his own trial in the courtroom that he wasn't allowed in. It was unbelievably bizarre. So if somebody would put that in the chat and then somebody copy that and send it to me in an email, I would appreciate it because I can't get to that. Somebody else trying to get in. I've stepped on somebody a couple of times. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I listened to that yesterday. I didn't get to hear the whole thing. But one of them judges, Coach, he kept bringing up the Catholic diocese. And I got so it pissed me off what I was having to listen to. And it's a sick deal today in America that the whole church across this whole nation is clueless to what's happening right now in 2021, not before I.
Alan, listen to this. Folks, listen to me. This is critical. This is critical that you understand it, okay? Stare decisis. And that means previously decided cases, court precedent, all right? And when I was listening to just a little clip of the recording that the nurse was talking about, I heard the prosecutor, I'm sorry, yeah, the, you understand that the other team works for the government. Do you understand it is the government against the church? Do you understand that? I heard the attorneys for the government quoting previously decided court cases. You know what John Diamond said? Why the hell don't they quote the Constitution? Who cares about what some judge ruled 30 years ago or 40 years ago? Who cares about that? The Constitution says Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Why don't they just rule on that? Because, see, that's the way they tie us in knots. Court precedent. Oh, yeah, well, this judge 68 years ago said this. We had never been in a time like we're in now, and I couldn't care less what somebody said 80 years ago in some trial somewhere else. Somebody else, come on in. Help me out there, Spence.
Yeah, hey, you know, you mentioned earlier that, you know, all these churches with their concern of spreading the gospel and everything like that. Now, I've said this dozens and dozens of times, and I'm going to say it again, and people, please listen carefully. It's not spreading the gospel if it's not the truth. The main gospel that the false churches are spreading is Jesus loves everybody. Jesus loves you. The truth is God loves everybody, and God wants, or God loves everybody, loved everybody enough that he made a way that you can move into the condition of his love through his son, Jesus. That's the truth about the gospel. The lie about the gospel is he does blanketly love everybody. It's a stinking lie, and that lie is going to send so many people that think they're Christians because they trusted that lie straight to hell.
They're of their father, the devil, and the works of their father they will do. Yes.
Hey, this is Dale. You know, I want to just, man, I just want to piggyback off the accolades of, you know, how proud I am of you.
You're a little muffled, Dale, you're a little muffled, bud.
That, I don't know. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead. Not as well as usually.
Okay, so when I look at this and I see this group that came in,
brother, I think it's good to sit down and consider the cost. Consider the cost, brother. What these people, these are the unknowns. George Washington was a man, but he had soldiers underneath him, unknown soldiers. Gideon was the man of God, but it was the unknown who came with their clay pots. Brother, these people who have just been awoken over the past years, literally, and you and I know, they might not understand the ramifications and the impact that they were part of history yesterday that our children's children, if we'll read about it. Amen.
Amen. I couldn't agree with you more. And Pastor Bill Dunphy gave a powerful message last night. I'm going to ask this real quickly. I'll ask this of you. And here was the question. Can the Lord trust you? Can the Lord trust you, folks? You. There was that picture. Put that back up there, Spencer. There's our crew out in the crowd. Hey, folks, listen to me. Are you listening to me? Can the Lord trust you? Can he trust you through thick and thin? When you say that you're on God's A team and you're on the SWAT team and let's go, boys, hey, can he really trust you? When they turn up the heat, are you going to turn and run, or are you going to be faithful to the end? Because the message that Pastor Bill said last night, you all better be ready, because the Lord is testing some of you right now to figure out whether he can count on you. Whether he can count on you. You know what is the end? You know what is at the end of all of this for us is death. We all know that, right? Death, for those of us who carry the name of Christ, who've received Christ as our King, our Lord and our King, that's a glorious thing. At the end of this road for us is a glorious death and a resurrection and the eternal. That's what awaits all of us. Why are we, when the Lord himself could have saved himself and didn't save himself, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he could have said, Lord, sorry, my will, not yours. I ain't doing this. I ain't doing. You said, oh, well, he couldn't have done that. He was the Son of God. Oh, yeah, fully man. The Bible said he's fully a man. And he could have, just like you said, hey Dad, listen, I know you love me. I ain't doing this one, all right? I ain't doing this one. And he struggled in the garden. He said, I don't want to do it, Dad. I don't want to do it. If there's any other way, you sure somebody else can do this? And in that garden, Jesus Christ, God's Son, wrestled with his Father. And he had to find out whether they could trust him or not. Because, you know, as crazy as it is, we all think we can trust the Lord, don't we? But we don't live like it. Let God be true and every man a liar. He told us, he gave us his word, he gave us his promise. He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, and he is not a man that he should lie. He said, go into all the world and I'm going to be with you even until the end of the earth. You go, and I'm coming with you. You go. The great commandment is go ye into all the world. You go. And what do? Teach them to observe all I've commanded you. You go, and I'm with you. But the bottom line is, you don't trust him. You don't trust him. We don't trust him. And the question that you all have to wrestle with, and I have to wrestle with, is, can he trust me? Can he trust me? I was sitting there last night. I'm sorry if this sounds self-serving. I'm just going to tell, because Pastor Bill was kind of reflecting over when we'd been down with Judge Roy Moore, what all we'd been through. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about, see, I could relate to Pastor Tony's spell yesterday. Are you guys listening to me? When I looked into the eyes of his wife, I've lived that. When Michelle and I were, no one ever knows what's going on behind closed doors in somebody's house. When I was being persecuted by the American Civil Liberties Union back in 1997 and going through that and putting on that strong face and that brave face outside, nobody knows what was going on in my house. Nobody knows. And I looked into Pastor Tony Spell's wife's eyes, that brave man, and I had such compassion because I knew when I looked in her eyes the turmoil that must be in that house. But I was standing there. The picture's up there. You see our crew. This crew, this wonderful group of nobodies that the Lord has put together. I wish I could see the picture, the bigger picture. The guys that came from Pennsylvania. Again, this sounds self-serving. The Lord knows he can trust me. When things get tough, he knows I'm not going to tuck tail and run. Oh, yeah, there's going to be turmoil in my house. Yeah. There'll be times behind the door that I'll be hugging my wife, holding her. She's crying. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I don't know if you have eyes to see. You look at that picture on the screen. You know what that is, boys and girls? That is fruit of the persecution Michelle and I waded through. There's the fruit. Powerful moment in my heart. Alan Keyes and Flip Benham, Rusty Thomas, and Dan Fisher and John Diamond, and I'm forgetting somebody, Tuella. Matt Tuella drove down, spoke for 15 minutes, got in his car and drove back. These are men the Lord can trust. Nobody asked me for a dime. Tuella said, he didn't say, will you buy my gas? Alan Keyes said, I'll come for $25,000. Dan Fisher says, oh, yeah, coach, I'll come. But in fact, Dan Fisher gave away about $400 of books last night. You know why? Because that's a man you can trust. Are you? Are you a man the Lord can trust? All right, listen. Will your faith take you where the Lord wants you to go? Huh? Say that again. You say, use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. He ain't going to use you till he can trust you. And we call those tests of your faith. I know right now, listen, don't anybody take this wrong. I'll just say that I could call Mark Trump tomorrow. Mark didn't come with us. I could call Mark Trump and he'd do anything for me. I could call Alan Zeifer and he'd do anything for me. I could call Denny Bryan and Denny Bryan would do anything. I could run down a litany of 100 people who weren't there yesterday that I know I can trust. Why? Past experience. I can trust Clay Parker. I know I can trust Clay. I can trust Gary Donahoe. I can trust Mike and Polly Heath. I know I can. I know it. Why? Because they came for no other reason than to serve their Lord publicly, at great expense, at great personal cost. But what did it cost him? What did it cost our Heavenly Father, who we claim we trust? What did it cost him for all of those people to be there? That's why it says in Romans that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world. There's transformed people right there. You looking at that screen? Bobby Lee is a transformed person. I didn't know Bobby Lee. Just bear with me here a second. I didn't know Bobby Lee 5 years ago. I didn't know Bobby Lee 3 years ago. I didn't know him. But I can tell you this, something's happened. I didn't know Larry Richardson 6 years ago. Something's happened. Some of you have been transformed. And you've been transformed. Don't miss what I'm going to tell you here. You have been transformed because you have connected to this. Rochelle calls it a team. You have connected to this thing. Whatever this thing is, you have connected to it. And I was reminded, the 23rd Psalm says, goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And I think of the struggles I've been through. I'm not talking about me. All of us, the struggles we've been through. I think of the 3 years of hell Michelle and I went through with the ACLU. And the times I cried out to the Lord for goodness and mercy. Where was your mercy, Lord? I need your mercy, Lord. And the Holy Spirit said to me, 23rd Psalm, goodness and mercy shall follow you. Not be out in front of you. Goodness and mercy is what left behind as a result of you having come through. Go back to that picture, Spence. Because I got sued by the ACLU and my wife grabbed my hand and we went on this journey together where we were rock bottom. We had to leave town, sell our home, go run back home, rent a crappy house. We did it. Look what's following us. Goodness and mercy. None of that would have happened. None of you guys, I'm not patting me up myself on the back. Don't misread what I'm saying. Because we went through the high brush and we took a sickle and we cut the path through. Look what is coming behind us. Goodness and mercy follows us. You get it? Now, I'm going to tell you this. Some of you need to be trailblazers as well. And I stand here, 1997. We got sued by the American Civil Liberties Union 24 years ago, however long it was, 24 years ago. We went through it. We laid it on the line. The Lord found out he could trust us. Why? So you could be awakened. Do you see the connection? What happened to us 24 years ago awakened you today. It wouldn't have happened had we not gone through it. Oh, my goodness. Can he trust you? Better yet, you trust him. When he says go, do you go? When he says speak, do you speak? When he says pray, do you pray? When he says give, do you give? Can he trust you? Because he can only, listen to me, he's only going to take you as far as he can trust you.
Boom.
I can tell you right now, I'll let you come in just a second. I can take you to a point right now at a football game in Springfield, Ohio, back in 1997, where in the heat, we were fourth and one. And in the heat of the moment, I ran a play and I grabbed the guy that was standing beside me. I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to embarrass him. I grabbed the play, ran the play in. I told him the play, he ran it in. And as he's running on the field, I said to myself, or the Holy Spirit said to me, oh my goodness, don't send him in. You can't trust him. He was the closest guy to me. And I gave him the play and I sent him in. And on that play, it was called a wedge block. Everybody had to block down and the fullback had to kick out. And then we knocked the ball into the end zone. And I taught him over and over and over, when we run that 27 power, 27 wedge, you have got to go inside out. Don't let anybody get inside the blocker. Inside out. Kick him out. Running back right off his butt into the end zone. And as he's running out on the field to take the play in, the Holy Spirit says to me, oh no, not him. And what happened? Everybody blocked down and he didn't take the right angle and somebody crosses his face and tackles a guy before he gets into the end zone. And I was livid with me, because I asked a guy to do something and I knew I couldn't trust him. We got something going here, baby. Ain't nobody doing what we're doing. Somebody come on in. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry.
Coach, no. I need to piggyback on that testimony, because Coach, that play was called of me in 2005, had it not been where my son Dave was in a surgery room having brain surgery moments from death. And I stood before the Lord, brother, in that moment. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if you take my son, was 5 years old, he was 20 minutes old. I said, Lord, if you take my son tonight, I am going to be on the platform worshiping you, saying he gives and takes away. Brother, I'm telling you, I know that was my trusting point. It was pinnacle. Had that not been, I would have never met you. You would not be upstairs today.
See, sometimes he has to use a cattle prod to get us where we need to be. Do you understand? Do you guys understand? Somebody else. Hey, that's a powerful right there, baby. If you didn't feel that one, huh? See, something's changed your life. Something in the last 4 years, or as Rochelle says, good morning, team. See, something has drawn you to this tribe. I don't know what it is, but something has drawn you to this tribe. The boys and girls, there wouldn't have been a tribe if Michelle didn't grab my hand and say, let's go. Let's go. This tribe wouldn't be here. Spencer, help bring some folks in there. Did I see Rochelle raised her hand? She led her talk, let her talk. She came all the way down here. Her dad brought her down here. Come on in, Michelle.
Good morning, team. This has been a wonderful experience. I've never seen more Psalm 1 people in my whole life. And blessed are those who stand in the way of the wicked and who shine their light. And no matter what happens, they just keep going. It's been amazing. Pastor Dale has been one of the most hospitable people I've ever met. He's got a beautiful family. Coach has just led the team. And I think that we may not have got the court outcome that we wanted in our hearts, but it could lead to a much bigger, it's going to make much bigger waves, and will continue to separate the wheat from the tares.
Amen. Amen. Amen, Michelle. God bless you. Thanks for coming. Reggie, come on in, Reggie. Let me get Reggie in. Reggie and her husband, they drove all the way from Ohio to be here. They're driving right home right now. Dennis, go.
No, we're staying. We're staying.
Okay, good. Hey, folks. Hey, folks. Listen, we're taking them all to the abortion clinic this morning. Oh, it's going to rock. Go ahead, Reggie.
We're excited. I want to extend my gratitude to Dale and his entire church and congregation, to Coach and everybody. It has been the most, there are no words to describe what's going on over here. There are no words. And my husband said to me yesterday, thank you for pushing me. Thank you so much for pushing me. And so we were all had lunch yesterday after the courthouse, and we were breaking bread and we said prayers. That we was Kevin and Brett and Betty and Betty's friend Pam. And even at that table, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is with us. We are just, we had the waitress praying with us. So it's been a wonderful event, and there's going to be a positive outcome.
Either way, right? Because goodness and mercy is following us, folks. Goodness and mercy. Now, listen, thank you, Reggie. God bless you, Reggie. Listen, I don't know who it was. Everybody trust me on this. When you drive into New Orleans, you can feel something in the air. Whether it's that voodoo spirit, whatever it is tangible. You can feel it. But I want you to know, my friends, there was an anointing at Lafayette Park yesterday when we were there outside that courthouse. It's like we were dwelling under the secret place of the Most High. Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Those spirits knew we were there. Hey, emboldened and empowered by your prayers, Joe Silver, and all of you guys out there that were praying. We felt it, man. Daryl came. God bless you, Daryl. I just hate to get talking about it because the people who made a sacrifice to be there. But listen to me. The Lord's got a little chart, see? It says that Michelle. Well, she passed that one. In fact, he let the enemy come in and try to discourage you, Rochelle, so you couldn't come. And he wanted to see if you were going to persevere. And then you were going to, well, maybe I can't come. And then your daddy says, come on, honey, you ain't going alone. And your daddy came. And so the Lord put a mark down. Ooh, I guess maybe I can trust her. Maybe I can trust Rochelle. All right, I'm getting ready for a bigger game. I got Reggie on the team now. I got Michelle here on the team. I got Betty on the team, and Betty brought a friend with her. What is it? Folks, come on, man. Huh? He's looking down. He's putting a team together, and he's testing some of you to see if he can trust you. Now, he may just say, well, not mature enough yet. Just Coach. Not quite there yet. Still Coach loves you. Hang on. Still loves you. Says, well, she's not ready. She's still in junior high. She's still playing junior high ball.
I'm going to break in ahead of order here for just a second, because what you just said is very, very important that we understand. Now, God does not test us for him to find out what we're going to do, because he knows. God tests us for us to find out what we do.
Amen. Amen. Bring somebody. Who am I? Is that you, Dale? Who else is trying? I want to get some others in here. I love. Great. Come on in, Tony.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Your message on heathenism, oh, boy, that was something else. I got to chew on that, and I want to bring that Sunday morning to my home church. You know, unless you're willing to go through the fire, you're going to hold on to your impurities. And, you know, the thing with Tony Snow, his organization was a no-show. Maybe he needed that wake-up to get out of the denomination.
That's right. That's right. Because, hey, listen, folks, the Lord, just combine what Larry said as well, the Lord brings these challenges into your life for a reason, right? He brings it for a reason. And how do you, how are you answering the call? Are you passing the test? You want to be captain, do you? You want to be captain? Oh, well, that takes a little bit of courage. And so he's got to test your courage. I said yesterday, last night, I announced last night, how many of you have never been to an abortion clinic? I was amazed in that room. 10, 15 hands. People never been to an abortion clinic. They're gone today. They're gone today. I had a couple people come up to me afterwards and said, hey, listen, coach, we were going to make an early exit and get home. I'm going to get up early and drive. But he says, coach, I've never been to the clinic. I got to go to the clinic. Training. Trust. Can he trust you? Anybody else? I can't see the screen. Go, Vinny.
Hey, good morning, guys. Now, good morning. Coach, you just mentioned voodoo spirit, right? So
yeah, it's live and well down here, brother. I'll tell you that.
Okay, so I've been struggling on this, but now I'm glad to say it out loud. There's this woman who works in NYU. Her name is Aruna Kalinani. She has publicly stated that she wants to shoot white people in the head. Now, I think we need to put a stop to this right now before it gets worse. Because you know, if people get away with saying this out loud,
right?
It only gets worse. It only gets worse. So I'm not saying anymore. I've said a lot more about this in the huddle, right? Mm. So just saying it out loud, all right? I'm not mentioning out on the air. I'm not being irresponsible. But let's put a stop to this right now.
Amen. Well, hey, well, guys, you won't believe. I don't have time to do it. Yes. Hey, is there somebody, Spencer, is there anybody waiting to get in? Go let Clay get in, because I want you to pull up a scripture I sent to you. Go ahead, Clay.
Yeah, Coach. A couple of things. First, I want to just say thanks to the prayer force, our prayer force out there. Everybody that's praying for us. It's awesome too to be out here with this big family and then get a text from somebody that's thinking about you hundreds of miles. And then I just wanted to say Dale's family in King Jesus Ministries is awesome. His family is so, so awesome. And his daughter, Gabrielle, reminds me of that little in the Christmas story, that candle, the angel of Christmas future, that's a little candle burning everywhere it goes. That's what Gabrielle reminds me of.
Abigail.
Yeah, Abigail. And with just one story, Coach, OJ was carrying that cross around. He decided we needed to follow Pastor Tony Spell over to the courthouse. So we got some Appeal to Heaven flags and the cross and followed him over to the courthouse and stood with him. And then after they got a few photos taken, the guy came out the door, a security guy came out the door, and he said, "We need y'all to get off the steps. Please get off the steps." And so we said, "Okay, we'll get off the steps." And then he said, "But thank you for being here."
That's right. And then Coach Davis, Ohio Brett, sitting right next to my buddy Clay Parker. Coach, what a great team. What a great team. God bless you all.
Amen. What a great team. Hey, here's the good thing about our team. See, not everybody can come to every game, but everybody can engage in every game, can't they? Whether it be through prayer, whether it be through coming, whether it be for supporting somebody else, providing money for somebody else to come. Everybody can be in this game. Now, Silver, if you can, pull up Isaiah. No, I'm sorry, the third one. Pull up 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. And I want you to know something. Here's what I was going to talk to us all about today. You guys can write this down if you want to. But the Lord's given us a job, folks. We're here because the Lord has given us a job. We know what the Great Commission is. We know what the Great Commandment is. But you can read it in Isaiah. You can read it in Jeremiah. You can read it in Timothy over and over. See, we've got this Jesus thing messed up. He didn't come to serve us. We were put here to serve him.
Boom.
Do you understand that? We have it upside down. And all throughout the Old Testament, we're warned by it. But I want you to, go to Isaiah. Joe Silver, get ready because I can't see my screen here. Go to a second, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And Silver.
Yes, sir.
I want you to read. I'm going to try to follow along the best I can here, brother. I want you to read this. I want you to read this in the ears of the people. Go ahead, Dale.
Coach, I mean to break in, but Tony Spell just sent a text to me, and I was going to read it to y'all.
Go ahead.
All right. Here we go. He said, "We want to thank you yesterday for being there. It was life-changing to see such a devoted group of warriors."
Mm.
That to the heart. "Truly the salt of the earth. I was so overcome with emotion, physically and mentally exhausted the entire day, but I barely remember the events. I'm stronger." Hold on 1 second. "I'm stronger because of you, encouraged and emboldened like never before." "Truly the tip of the sword you are. Because of you this morning, I can say I will never give up because of the renewed hope you have instilled in me. Wow. I have not yet begun to fight. May God continue his blessings on all of us."
Amen. Hey, and listen, don't miss the connection. Don't miss the connection. It's only happened because Michelle and I, my wife, in 1997, joined hands and walked through hell. Do you understand that? Tell me you're making that connection. The persecution that came our way was for a purpose. And here we are. Here we are. Joe, read this. This is the command from Paul's about to die. They're about to kill him. And look what he says. Go ahead, Joe.
2 Timothy chapter 4. "I charge ye therefore before God."
Wait a minute. Whoa, whoa. "I charge ye." What does that mean, Silver?
I'm telling you.
I ain't taking no crap. Here's your job. Hey, boys and girls, Paul said, "I just laid my ASS on the line here. I've given up everything, and I'm about to hand it off to you. So I'm charging you." Go ahead, Joe.
"I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears."
Boy, oh boy, boy. Keep going.
"And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables."
Joel Osteen. But Jesse Duplantis. Go ahead.
"But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry."
Huh?
"For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand."
Wow.
"I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith."
Amen.
Henceforth.
Hang on, Joe. Hey, folks, kept the faith like a beekeeper, protecting it, nourishing it, helping it to grow and expand. He kept the faith. It wasn't a personal thing. Keep the faith, Rochelle. Keep the faith, Joe. Things will get better. Keep the faith. No. That's not what that means. Protect it. Die for it. Lay your life on the line for the faith. That's what that means, Joe.
Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing.
Mm.
Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas has forsaken me, having Amen. Loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescent to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia.
All those guys, he used to be on the Salt and Light Brigade. The heat got up and they ain't nowhere to be found, baby.
Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Antiochus I have sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me
great honor. Oh, did he ever. Watch out for him.
I don't know if you can hear that thunder in the background. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me.
Nobody stood with Tony Spell but you folks. Go ahead.
But all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge.
Mm.
Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion.
Amen.
And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. So folks, listen, you prayer warriors out there, keep praying today, because we're going to go to the abortion clinic. We're going to have a big rally again tonight. Some people are going to have to leave. That's okay. It is Tuesday, by the way. So God bless them who came. God bless those of you who gave, get those of you who prayed, those of you who whatever. Folks, this is a team. But don't forget this. Oh, thank you, Lord. This team was birthed out of persecution. We'll say it again. This huddle that you are in was forged in persecution. Goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life if the Lord can trust you. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.